141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy night in the Champions League. Celtic get their first point on the board against Shakhtar Donetsk, but Ange Postecoglou feels it could have been all three. 10-man Rangers lose 3-0 to Napoli to continue a tough run of results for Giovanni van Bronckhorst, and Hearts are in Latvia hoping to kickstart their Europa Conference League campaign. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, Gordon Diehl and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, we'll spend an evening analysing what happened last night, and mixed emotions I would feel from both sets of supporters. Celtic did incredibly well and should have won the game. Rangers did well up until a point, but ultimately came away with nothing again, so questions to be answered there. And Hearts in Europe, and the games coming thick and fast at the weekend, plenty to discussed tonight.
Yeah, a lot of football ahead. Obviously, we'll be reflecting on last night's games, Gordon. As Mark quite rightly said, I think the Celtic fans, looking at that before the game kicked off, 1-1, probably taking that, it'd have been a good result. On the evidence of play, I think that Celtic should have probably won the game. Then Rangers at Ibrox at the 8 o'clock kickoff. You wonder what the Rangers fans are thinking. Was it the sending off it changed it, or would Napoli have went on and won the game?
01419511025. Come on, step up to the plate and let us know what you made of it last night. As the guys have displayed, there was obviously a slight feeling of frustration from some Celtic fans that it wasn't all 3 points, given the dominance, given the chances created. But then usually a point away from home in the Champions League is considered good and is considered okay for our team. So how do you feel about that? Who were the standout players? What about those missed chances? How do you see the group shaping up? Rangers fans, there was so much talk even before the game because there was no new signings in the starting 11. What did that say to you? What did you make of the game itself? How much did the sending off change it? What about the big decisions? It was quite a night. We had three penalties at one end and one at the other, and all sorts of drama. So let's pick our way through those controversies as well. And any Hearts fans who want to look ahead to RFS against Hearts tonight in Riga, then please pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. In a very general sense, before we all fall out with each other about various things, Mark Wilson, I mean, it was great to have two teams in Champions League action on one night.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I said last night at the start of the show, it's rare that, you know, we have our teams in the Champions League. We've waited a long time, but to have both of them on the same night was fantastic. You know, and I thought the games in themselves were entertaining. I thought the Celtic game kicked it off perfectly with the way Celtic approached the game. It was nice and open. It ended up end to end in that first half, and then Celtic dominated the second half. That fed into Rangers-Napoli. Again, I thought the pace of the game was terrific. I thought Rangers did well up until a certain point. I always thought Napoli looked dangerous on the break and created chances themselves. You could see the quality, and we had plenty of talking points. The penalty kicks at Ibrox, you know, could probably fill these 2 hours alone. So a fantastic night, one that we've been waiting for a long time. I don't know if we'll ever get to them in the one night again, unless they get to the last 16 or something like that. So fantastic.
Yeah, I think when you look at both groups and the evidence of what's happened so far, I think if you're a Celtic fan, you're looking at this group and thinking, yeah, there are points there to be gained. No doubt about that. Rangers sitting there, no points so far. Yeah, two difficult games, two quality sides. Did the changing off change the game? Because at 11-11, Gordon, 0-0, there weren't a lot in it. We were saying the fact that the first goal was going to be so important. Napoli got that. Rangers have got to go after a game. They've nothing to lose. They get caught in the break a few times, 3-0, and it looks very comfortable for Napoli. But you look at Rangers' group, doubleheader coming up against Liverpool. A lot of work to be done there. Question marks asked about the new signings. None of them in the starting 11 last night. Yes, you can point at one or two guys like Lawrence would have played, but injured. Shooter, obviously, with his problems, what he's got just now, the lad. But my big question, Mark, especially looking at the substitutions last night, Davis not on the pitch and they bring an 18-year-old on. So I just wonder if the Rangers fans, what their question about the summer signings as well.
Oh, there is a lot to get through. Rangers fans, there were so many questions last night, whether it was the result, the performance, the referee, the selection, recruitment, whatever it is. And Celtic fans, I suspect you're mostly on about the 90 minutes rather than anything in terms of that bigger picture. How frustrated are you about the missed chances? Does it feel like 2 points dropped? Or in the cold light of the following day, do you accept a point on the road? Pick up the phone, come on, that's what we're here for on a Thursday night. 0141 951 1025 to set you up, Rangers fans. Here's your manager. He felt the scoreline was harsh. He was happy with how they played with 11 and admits Napoli had just a bit too much when Rangers went down to 10.
Well, I think we gave, you know, until the red card, I think we gave Napoli a really tough game. I think we were well organized. We were good in the game. Players were giving everything to try to get a good result. We created chances to open the score. I think it was a nice battle to see, you know, Napoli against Rangers. But of course, in the end, with the sending off, you knew it's going to be difficult. I think Allen saved us two times with the penalties, which was just fantastic. But the first goal we conceded, you know, it made me change the way we were playing, because we need to attack, and you know you're going to give more space. So, you know, in the end, I think the 3-0 defeat didn't reflect the difference in quality today and how the game went on.
That's all well and good, but what do you think, Rangers fans? So 0141 951 1025, Tony is going to kick things off. Tony, how do you look back on last night?
Well, just to start off, guys, I mean, we got the press conferences and everything before it, saying that we're going to get a reaction, and the players were ready and fired up. And then you see the lineup, and he's playing the exact same back four that conceded 8 goals in 2 games, which everybody in the world can see that it's not working. I mean, McGregor, I thought McGregor was outstanding. He'd done more in that game than John McLaughlin's done to the start of the season. I mean, you've got a £4 million centre-half sitting on the bench. You've got James Sands that is not a centre-back. He's a centre-defensive mid. And even when James Sands gets sent off, you thought to yourself, right, we'll bring Ben Davies on now. And he brought Leon King on. You've got Red Van Gilmaz sitting on the bench. It's a left-back that cost nearly £6 million or whatever it exactly was. I mean, like, what was the point in signing all these players if you're not going to play them? They were signed for these big games. I just think Ross Wilson and the board should hang their head in shame. And the Rangers team really need to get themselves going, because before they know it, the league could be over, we could be out of Europe and win nothing.
It was quite the night, Gordon, because, I mean, I didn't quite envisage when Rangers and Celtic made the Champions League that the very next night the calls would be about the bigger picture rather than what happened in the 90 minutes. Mm. You know, Tony's instantly wanting to talk about, you know, the recruitment and the board and Ross Wilson and why this player doesn't feature and that player doesn't feature. So I get that feeds into the 90 minutes. But the Rangers fans, I detect a widespread frustration at the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions I think the Rangers fans were looking at getting answered, Gordon. And Tony makes some good points there. Guys were brought in, and you can point to the fact, well, last year, this is most of the team that went Europa League Cup final and everything in the run they had in Europe. But in the summer, you bring in new recruitment to strengthen for the Champions League, because it's a step up. So you're looking at your squad being better. You're looking at your starting 11 being better and stronger. None of them appeared last night. Yes, we can go against, like, say, Lawrence would have probably started. Suter, I don't know, but I totally agree. Sands, and I backed Sands because I thought, especially over in the Netherlands against Eindhoven, I thought he played particularly well, the lad. So he's been thrown into a position that he's not comfortable with. But you've got a guy coming up from Liverpool, the English Premier League. He's been brought up for these nights. And I'm not surprised, right? I'm not having a go at the fact that surprised he was on the bench. What surprised me is, when the game's away, you're looking to get some game time into him. If he's not up to 100% speed of fitness, he brings on young King, who I think's a promising, terrific young lad and going to be a real top player. But surely you must look at that. You look at the left back. I don't think the left back, Yilmaz, is anywhere near challenging Barisic for the number 3 berth, as I said last. But
number three berth. That's never going to catch on. That's rubbish.
No, but
a terrible save.
I look at the start of the other signings. Tillman when he come in at first, but the last two games against Celtic and Ajax, he just fell apart for me. Matondo's really offered nothing. Colak had a run of games where he was scoring goals and everybody thought he was going to be the number one. But obviously Morelis come back in last night and I thought Morelis worked away very well. But my big question mark also was, it proved last night to me, right? McGregor is the number one goalkeeper. And yet he started the season as number two.
Tony, the run doesn't make for good reading. It is 11 goals conceded and none scored. But can you really lump last night in with the other two when Rangers did do fairly well up until the sending off? Does this feel the same, or are you cutting them a bit of slack for last night?
See, that this is what's annoying me as well. Like, people saying, oh, they played better, they had more fight. We get beat 3-0 at home to Napoli. I mean, whether we played better or not, we're Glasgow Rangers, we're bigger than a lot of teams that's in this competition. It get beat 3-0 at home is not acceptable. That's now 11 goals in three games with none conceded, and it's just, I don't know the answer for it.
Look, I can see Tony's point. I think there will be fans like that. I understand your point, Gordon. I was the same. You know, you have to understand the level of competition. But the problem Van Bronckhorst finds himself in just now is because it's not last night's game. It stems back to the Celtic game and then followed quickly with that Ajax game. Those performances are still in Rangers fans' minds. So they get beat last night convincingly with a man sent off, and they did well to a certain extent, but they've still got that in their mind how that team performed. So it then just adds up. So again, Saturday's game is so important for them. I don't think he can ask for a better tie than Dundee United coming to Ibrox and getting a win, a comfortable win, and a performance under his belt before the squad splits up for international duty.
I mean, Tony, you sound very downbeat about the full thing. You didn't see anything last night that makes you think it's even starting to turn in the right direction?
I mean, I've seen flashes. I've seen that it's point blank in everybody's face that Alan McGregor is our number one goalkeeper. It's point blank that Alfredo Morelos should be starting for us. I know he had a bit of fitness issues and stuff like that, but I thought he was outstanding last night, his hold-up play. But I don't understand, like, if he's not going to play the players that he signed, what was the players in signing them? Did he even make the signings? Did he have a say in them?
Well, here's the thing, Tony, right? Well, hang on the line and I'll play this, because he was obviously asked about it last night, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He says he doesn't consider how long players have been at the club when he selects the team. He just picks the best one to get the result.
Well, I always pick the team who I think will win the game. I'm not going to pick 11 players and say, okay, I put three new signings in and four players who already been here for 10 years. It doesn't work like that. You know, I have two eyes. You know, I can see how the performances are. I can see how they train. And eventually, I don't look at new signings or players who are already here for longer years. I just pick the best 11 for the game today. And I think, you know, the starting 11 played really well.
To be fair, though, Gio, if you're listening, I'm not sure anyone's suggesting that you should deliberately pick players because they're new. It's more about what the failure to include those players in your best 11 says about the overall picture.
I think so. I mean, Tony made a good point when he came on there. He said the back four, same back four. It's alarming that they lose so many goals and nothing really changes. Even the goalkeeper wouldn't have changed last night if John McLaughlin was fit.
That said, he was also asked about Ben Davies and said he's only just come back to training and, you know, no big fuss sort of thing. He's not up to speed yet.
Don't include him on the bench in a Champions League. Why are you taking him along? Why are you sticking him on the bench?
He was on the bench last week as well, wasn't he?
Why? See, if he's not ready, and Van Bronckhorst, I read the bit that he says he's only played 180 minutes and he's not quite up to speed. Well, you put yourself in a position when you've got this guy sitting there. The Ben Davies will get a better view in the stand if you want him to be at the stadium, but you line yourself up for that question after it and what we're all talking about tonight.
So, Paul, you're not... Tony, you're not having that explanation from the manager?
No, not at all. I mean, how can you say you pick your best starting 11 when you're starting 11 you're picking is getting beat 4-0, then another 4-0, and now a 3-0? I mean, he must be the only person that can see that is his best starting 11. Whether he needs to get a formation change, he needs to do something, because it's not working. And before we know it, we'll be out of reach of Celtic, out of Europe, and there'll be nothing to play for.
Tony's not happy. What about Paul, just along the, just the other side of the Strathclyde Park in Hamilton? Paul, are you a bit more upbeat, or are you as down as Tony is?
I am. Evening, Pano, how are you?
Good, thanks.
See, honest, see when I seen the draw get made, I went, you'll be lucky to get much from any of those matches because of the quality of the opposition now. What we want to see was good performances, even though we might not win. And the performance in Amsterdam last week was atrocious. But I thought last night, up until the sending off, I thought Rangers matched Napoli. And don't get me wrong, you could see Napoli were a class act. When they went forward, the reflex and the spaces they could find in behind us, it was a joy to watch at times. But I don't think we were out of depth until the sending off, and I thought we might have nicked something. But to be honest as well, I've no complaints about the refereeing decisions. Sands could have been a straight red card because it was the last man, and the new laws apply to the handball in the penalty box. The retaking penalty, I'm not so sure about, but I think we've got to be a bit more realistic here. We're playing against world-class teams, and we're way out of the league, including spending. And the other reason I think he changed the team last night, which was a bit surprised about, was I think we was trying to bring in a bit more experience, because a lot of the boys in there, the lads in there last night had been it, seen it and done it in the Europa League on the way to the final last year. And I think a couple of the new boys struggled in Amsterdam last week.
That's the thing about the level, Mark. See, if last night was game one of the group stage and they hadn't played Ajax and they hadn't played Celtic,
not so bad.
Wouldn't, do you know what I mean? It's the continuation of it all. Paul's right in isolation. Do we expect Rangers to beat Napoli? No. Do you expect them to beat them when they go down to 10 men? Certainly no.
You expect them to compete, which they did, for 50 minutes. The sending off does change things because the game then just opened up for Napoli, and those players,
I mean,
and that side,
that probably wasn't it.
Yeah, exactly. But those types of players will just exploit space, which they did. They eventually just were patient and got their rewards. But Rangers had chances in that game. You're right. You then lump in that Ajax game, the Celtic game, and it's look, it's still fresh in the Rangers fans' mind. And until they get a convincing performance match with a result, it still will be in their mind. So I'll keep going back to it. The next game is critical for Rangers and for Van Bronckhorst to get a result, but not only a result, a performance to match what the Rangers fans expect.
It's not often we get a fan on when their team's been beaten and there's been big refereeing decisions made, where that fan holds up the hands and says, I think the ref got most of them right. The only thing, just for accuracy, James Sands was in the box, so remember that double jeopardy thing now that they tried to take away. So it wouldn't have been a straight red in that regard. It would always have been the second yellow. Paul felt that was fair enough. He felt the penalty against Borna Barisic for handball was fair enough. In terms of encroachment, if an attacking player encroaches and the ball eventually ends up in the back of the net, the penalty gets retaken. Incidentally, if there's encroachment by a defender and an attacker, the penalty would be retaken. So have, you know, you've seen the replay, Tavernier's kind of in with them as well, but either way it would be the same decision with the penalty being retaken because the ball ends up scored by the guy who encroached. Did the ref get any of the big calls wrong for you?
No, I think the biggest call was the Sands one, and I do agree. I think El Willie got that right on the night, Gordon. I
thought El Willie.
El Willie, yeah, as we nicknamed him. I think he called it right. I thought it was.
Just to be clear, did you not call him that last night and he's just stolen your best line?
No, it doesn't surprise you. It doesn't surprise you, Gordon.
As we called him.
There's no word we.
Okay,
Mark, Willie.
There's a lot of things I come out with you take credit for. That's why you're still on the show.
Well, I tell you what you did come out with last night. You said the referee had a nightmare at the end.
He did.
And
he,
now
he,
you're saying that.
I'll tell you the
decision. Slept on it. He's changed his mind.
Yeah. I got a phone call from the Referees Association this morning just to have a word with me. But the big decision was Sands, right? That was a change. That was the game changer. As much as McGregor has two magnificent penalty saves, when you go down to 10 men against Napoli, you're running the risk of losing a goal. And the first goal was going to be the most important one. We said that. We were looking at the game. We watched the game. Everybody, I think, was in the same mindset. This first goal's got to be so important. And when you get down to 10 men, you're thinking, well, Napoli will probably be the team that gets that first goal. That's what happened. Barisic, unfortunately for him, I think everybody watching the game would have thought, what else can the lad do? But letter of the law, the referee gives the right decision. And unfortunately for McGregor, he can't keep that one out. And that was it, because you heard the Rangers manager saying, well, that changed my mindset. I had to go and try and attack, try and get back in the game. When you do that, you leave spaces, and Napoli exposed these spaces and scored the goals.
Paul, this is like the opposite of the previous call where Tony was very negative and I asked him if he could find anything, you know, to be positive about. You're a bit more positive, so to do the opposite to you, is there anything that worries you when you look at the overall package and the goals conceded and the none scored and the no new signings in the team? Is there anything there that you think actually that is a fair point and that concerns me?
That is a fair point, but I think a lot of these players, the new ones we did bring in or brought in for the league title, some of them are just not up to speed with the way Gio wants to play. I get found out against Ajax. I'm just hoping, obviously we've got Dundee United this weekend, and if we played like half the way we did last night in the first 60 minutes, we should win the game comfortably. So we'll get a win on the board, get the fans back on board, and then get back to normal and take it from there.
Thank you, Paul. 01419511025. Rangers fans, are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Pick up the phone. And Celtic fans, this is the perfect time for you to get in touch, because we're going to hear from Ange Postecoglou after these.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here, Mark Wilson is alongside him, and it's 01419511025 for you to get in touch. Giovanni van Bronckhorst felt that the scoreline didn't reflect the match at Ibrox. Well, Ange Postecoglou said the same thing in a different way. He felt Celtic could and should have gone on and won it, and says he could not ask for any more from his players. But how did you analyse it, Celtic fans?
Performance was excellent. You know, it's it's obviously yeah, it's always difficult at this level to kind of dominate games. But I thought started the game really well, scored our goal. Obviously, they got one on the counter-attack. But I thought we regrouped really well after that. Obviously, the result is not reflective of that. But, you know, second half, like I said, I mean, the whole game, I thought we players gave everything. And that's all I can ask for. Obviously, we needed that second goal and we had good chances to get it. But, from my perspective, I can't ask any more of them. And you know, we'll get our rewards if we keep playing that kind of football and showing that sort of commitment.
Good point or two dropped?
Two dropped, looking at the game. Now, I had three campaigns in the Champions League. Never picked up a point away from home.
Away in Donetsk, he certainly didn't.
Yeah. And it was a better team than me a couple of years before that went to Donetsk with Chris Sutton and all the big hitters that got beat as well. So before the game, when you're thinking away tie against Dinesh and they'd won 4-1, a point, you would say, yeah, it gets you off the board. But just the way the game panned out, I mean, Celtic started so strongly. Okay, they fell out at the end of the first half, but the second half, the performance levels lifted again. It was just the amount of chances that they created is the most frustrating thing for the manager, you know, in clear-cut chances at that. So I keep saying that at this level, you need to find a player who can be relied upon to put them away to get you 3 points. But I really still think they're in mix. I think they'll look at Leipzig and Shakhtar at home and think it's possible to take maximum points from those remaining games.
John Paul, how does it feel to you on the line? Is again the same question. Now that you've had time to look back on it, do you feel a bit more pragmatic and think, right, fair enough, good point, or do those missed chances, did they keep you up last night?
Evening, Gordon, Mark and Gordon.
Hello.
You know, I do think it's 2 points dropped, but what I was saying to the producer there, see when you look back at it, you know, I look back the last couple of years, especially in Europe, the team we went out to, the way we've performed. Now, even I go back to Rodgers, you know, in the Champions League, and we understand it's a big step up, but the teams that we have that have beat us away from home have not been at any of these team levels. You know, and we all know what happened last week when we played well against Real Madrid, didn't take our chances. Last night, obviously looking back, it's 2 points drop because of the amount of chances we created. But on the flip side, the way that they scored, I mean, you know, Mark will be able to say better than me. Mark played fullback, and the way Juranovic plays, he's probably anticipating Cam Weir to win the tackle, doesn't he? And it's two passes up the park, and the team, like, they score. You know, that maybe doesn't happen in the SPL, but when you're playing against better teams, guys like that Murick that scored, they're going to do that to you. They're going to punish you. But I thought after that, for 10 minutes, Celtic were a wee bit ropey. They lost their shape, and Chavez's goal went in. But after that, they composed themselves again, which was the most impressive thing for me. You know, looking back, Celtic maybe would have crumbled. And I believe if it was under Lennon last year or before, Celtic maybe would have been in the second half and got beat 3 or 4-1 that game. I do see improvements. I think the signings that Ange Postecoglou has made, as in Carter Vickers, Jota, O'Reilly, they've all come in and made Celtic a better team. Hatate, I think Hatate's an absolute baller. But not only that, I'll put my hands up, I gave Greg Taylor a hard time. He's actually made Greg Taylor a far better player. I think Greg Taylor's solid. He can go forward a bit more. He can defend better. You know, and it's actually a wee bit optimistic watching Celtic in the Champions League. I didn't think I would have said that, but I'm with Mark. I really, really agree that we've got to be looking at Shakhtar and Leipzig at home and saying, if we get 6 points out of that and the point last night is 7, then you never know what happens.
Always depends what lens you view these things through, Gordon. We're still a bit short of 2 years ago when Celtic went to Prague in the Europa League, lost 4-1, and in under 2 years, not a single player who started that game, only one, Callum McGregor, played both those games. Teams completely changed. I wonder if you had sat that night on this show and said that Celtic in under 2 years would be disappointed with a point away from home in the Champions League, and that Greg Taylor might just have been the man of the match in the game. Through that lens, it will feel good for the Celtic fans. But then, as Mark says, you're there, you're in it, it's 90 minutes, and you can be disappointed that you didn't win.
Yeah, it's an incredible journey, especially over the last season since Postecoglou come through the door. The amount of signings that he had to bring in, the impact that they've made, I think John Paul's right. The players have been brought in and made an instant impact, made the team better, stronger. They play good, attractive football. I think it's a terrific point. I said when the group was the drawing, Gordon, Real Madrid's your glamour tie. Of course it is.
And they won last night, just in case anyone didn't know that.
The other two for me is points that are there to be picked up, especially the way Celtic play, very attacking, very attack minded. I do agree, last night, I think if you're playing in the Scottish Premier League, and no disrespect to teams, you get away with McGregor getting in with the challenge. I don't think with his experience, you should go and try and nip that ball, because one pass and then the next minute the ball's in the roof of your net. That just shows you the standard and the level. But to come back out in the second half, and they were under a little bit of pressure after that, they lost their way a little bit. Second half, I thought they were terrific. But I will say, and I was talking to a few Celtic fans today, Greg Taylor has surprised everyone. Everybody thought, yeah, good players, came from Kilmarnock, come in for a bit of criticism. The boy has been absolutely superb.
How much of it, Mark, is he's got better, and how much of it is this very specific way that Celtic use their fullbacks suits him?
Yeah, that does suit him. John Paul's right. Ange Postecoglou,
did he start as a midfield player?
So he's comfortable on the ball. We all know that. But Ange Postecoglou has no doubt made him a better player with the system, probably with the encouragement he's gave him. But Greg Taylor has made himself a better player. I've always been a Greg Taylor fan. I mean, there's been very few listen, Nate, what are you making the face for? There's been very few times. Why are you saying nonsense? It's been very few times I've been on here that I've criticised him. I never got the whole, you know, he shouldn't play.
Had to replace Kieran Tierney. It's worth remembering that.
Exactly. So
that was always going to be tough.
Right, the standards. And Greg Taylor, even at the standard there is just now, where he finds himself, is still a long way away from what Kieran Tierney was. So it's a hard act to follow. But I always thought he'd done well. I didn't think he was flashy or anything like that, but I think you can see the confidence levels rising in him now.
Ange Postecoglou's got high standards though, John Paul. I think, you know, you and us and everyone is allowed to look at what could be better. Does it surprise you the chances missed over the last two games?
It does. You know, it seems like against Real Madrid, that's funny to say. If it's against Rangers, Abada probably scores it too. I don't know if it's because it's a bigger stage. He's still only a young boy. You know, I'm certainly not going to criticise him. But when you step up and you play against these teams, you really, really need to. You noticed it last night. Celtic could have been 2 or 3-1 up, 2 or 3-0 up, and when they're no, then it goes 2-1 each. Then they scored it with an offside goal. I think when you step up, you really, really do need to take them. But it did surprise me, even Giacomakis coming on. You know, he normally comes on and he's normally clinical with the way he came on. You know, it never happened last night. But certainly, if you want to pick up points and get out of the group, we're going to need to start scoring more goals. But I do think that will come, and I think it's the only way that Ange knows how to play. He's not going to sit back or anything like that. He's going to go for it in every game.
You told me you couldn't sleep last night. I don't know if it's got anything to do with Celtic's performances, or if I've just exposed some sort of personal issue that you're having to the nation.
How we go with the latter?
Let's move on. If it was Celtic's chances, which one gives you the nightmares, or is there more than one?
Which chance?
Giacomakis
on the swivel. No. I think Maeda.
Maeda.
I think Maeda
sliding in.
Yeah. I think that's what lets Maeda down. I think he's a terrific player. He gives you pace. He hurries defenders into mistakes. I think technically, in front of goal, I know he scored goals, but you see the goals he scored, they're kind of
as a proven striker standing here today.
Do you think though we could ever get through one show without you making it about yourself?
Absolutely not.
Even just
as a
charity bet. As a proven Champions League striker.
I didn't say that. See, you're putting words into my mouth now.
Of course, you couldn't say that.
Stop me any time you want if I'm telling a lie. Right, as a proven striker, I would look at the two chances and I would say Maeda, if I was in that position, I'm expecting to score.
Okay,
but is he an out and out striker? That's the thing. I know he plays wide, but no, you're right. If that's failed to Kyogo or Giacomakis,
what about
one touch finishing?
Come on, then, proven striker. Is there a case that he just doesn't get there? He just doesn't get there in time. Whereas Giacomakis literally is taking the touch. He's 12 yards out and he's got the goal.
Yeah,
staring at him.
Look, I just think if it's me wanting either of those chances, I'm taking the Maeda one.
You're going nose first, aren't
you? No, and just to bring you up right a little bit, I know you've got a little favourite on a Thursday night, because the man to the right of me constantly talks about, well, when I played in my team, right? But you never hear you criticising this guy, do you? It's
same
always
tournament,
a proven striker.
It's the same tournament. It's the
same levels we're talking about, though.
It's nothing to do with level. You talk about that, everything.
The goals don't move.
You know what I mean?
That's what they say, isn't it?
The goals don't move. Exactly.
The goals don't move. Did you have the big square goal posts in your day?
He did, didn't he?
Angles on them.
Look, the ball was round.
The nets that were hanging down at the back. You
the
know
ball
that.
Was
the
round. I had my Adidas boots on. That was
woolen strip.
Shin guards. On you go.
Thank you, John.
Fair
Paul.
Cut.
01419511025. That's enough trips down memory lane, if you don't mind.
Andy,
how do you feel about it as a Celtic fan?
I think Celtic played really, really well. I think there's loads of positives. I agree with Dazzler. Maeda's chance was the chance that was facing the goal. However, I think Ange Postecoglou keeps repeating the same mistake. I think that Jota loses a lot when he's not coming off the left rather than the right. I think that was noticeable last night, if I'm being completely honest. And I've got another wee point, if that's okay, after you deal with that one.
Well, in the first half, Haksabanovic came off the left. Celtic got the goal through that, if you remember. It's not to say I don't disagree with you, Andy, because Jota has been so influential coming off that. But I think the second half, Jota played a lot off the left-hand side. Maeda went over to the right. A couple of his runs, I thought he should have pulled the trigger sooner, came from that area. It's no doubt he's most effective and he looks more comfortable when he comes in off that left hand side on his right foot. But
that's where I do. This is where I've got sympathy for you football management types, Gordon. If, as we say, Giacomakis just does the simple thing and puts the ball in the net, or if Maeda just slides that one home, nobody's talking about the effectiveness of Jota off either side.
Yeah.
And Celtic, whether it was Jota's fault or whatever, they created a lot.
Yeah, and I thought second half Jota looked a real threat. Especially, I agree with Andy, and I agree with Mark that he's probably more effective coming off the left, and I think every Celtic fan will echo those sentiments. But I just think that he's flexible. He can play off the right hand side, because when he cuts onto that right foot, he can deliver absolutely brilliant balls for strikers to go and attack. You're right, Gordon. If one of the strikers had put the ball in the back of the net, we wouldn't be talking about this. But I just think he's got that, Postecoglou's got that squad that Abada can come off the right hand side, come off the left. Forrest can play off both sides as well.
What about Haksabanovic starting, by the way?
Yeah, Haksabanovic. And by the way, let me say, I know that they made the substitution at half time, but I thought he played, he was effective for 45 minutes. I thought he played well. I thought the substitution worked as well. Maeda come on and stretched him, bit of pace, and he's the first guy, it's the press, you know, with the energy and everything that goes with him. So I thought Celtic got tactically last night very well. I thought they were good, and second half I thought they deserved to win the game.
Andy, you'll need to accept my humble apologies. I did not realise we were so late for the travel, and we need to do it. Hopefully we can pick up your second point another time. Get the calls in and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. What on earth has he done? Look at the state of this guy.
He's wrecked the headphones.
They're expensive, you know.
How have you managed that?
Yeah. You swapped him. I'm okay. I'm back.
The wire wrapped round his neck. He's tired.
Sleepy eyes. Because he had a late
wrong
night
with
last
you, actually?
Night.
You do look tired. Sleepy eyes.
Nothing. No.
Oh,
no.
Don't ask him that. You never know.
All quiet in the Western Front. Yeah. I met a very interesting person today. By the way,
is that why you had such a late night last night? Is that why you've come in your jammies?
They're not my jammies.
It's
maybe not iron the way I would prefer it to be iron, but it's,
it's a great show. That wasn't him yet. I don't know what you. I'm just laughing. That was him.
Investor.
Anyway. Who's your interesting person? Can we?
Yeah, guess
who?
Who?
Glasses.
Hoopy Huddle or something.
Is that a man?
The mascot at Celtic.
Sorry.
Hoopy.
Hoopy.
What do you mean you met?
I met him.
Walking down the street.
I met the guy.
The actual dog. Or the person.
The person.
What do you mean? It's a real dog.
Right. Well,
there could be children listening. Well, you just shattered the illusion.
To be fair, I was walking by a lamppost and he had one leg up in the air. I don't know. I just had a
you met who beat the Huddle Hound.
Can't do that here, mate.
Yeah.
Hold on.
By the way, I was quite excited.
What an unlikely combination.
Right, how did you get to find it?
All you do in your day is play golf. So you met Hoopy the Huddle Hound whilst out golfing.
I promised a lad
running about the golf course.
I promised him I wouldn't say who he was, right?
Oh, of course not. You've just blown apart the thrill.
But how did the conversation go?
We're going to get in trouble for this. I'm sure of it.
For this person to tell you it was Hoopy.
It was a conversation in football, obviously.
If you were one of the well-known mascots, you'd tell everybody.
Would
you?
I've got to admit, right? No, see, be fair to the boy, he went, look, don't say to MD you've met me, right?
Oh, good, well done. Right.
What's his first name?
He says, keep it under the radar.
Is that his full time
name? Actually?
Yeah.
And you've just.
Who cares? Listen,
he obviously cares.
he's behind the couch and out shouting.
Wagging his tail because he's getting a mention. Is that his full-time gig?
That's
full-time job.
Brilliant job.
He doesn't know that, so let's not put any false information out there.
But I could not believe I actually met the boy today. I've never met a mascot before.
I think... that's planted a seed. If there are any clubs out there that between now and the end of the season need a stand-in mascot, we've got just the man for the job. Can you imagine?
He'd be good at it, actually.
He'd be brilliant, wouldn't he? We'll send the cameras. Ali McCoist famously did it at Tynecastle, didn't he?
Yeah.
So like, you'd need to go to Brechin or something.
Yeah. No, I'm not going up there. There are no fans up there.
Anyway, any clubs, get in touch. You know the number. Billy's a Rangers fan on the line. Billy, emotions maybe running high after the game. A bit of time to look back on it. How do you feel after last night?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Pleasure.
Gordon and Mark, I hope you're both doing well.
Yes, Billy, we're doing great.
The first half was okay. I was a wee bit, perturbed by the lineup at the start of the game. You know, with the ones that were sitting on the bench.
Because, I mean, MD can see that that defence that we've got just now has got Merlix and a greengrocer. James Sands is just no... he's no there. And if you've got Davies sitting on the bench, I agreed with Mark there earlier on. If he's good enough to be sitting on the bench, is he no good enough to be in the park to put... You know, I mean, even if he's only on for half a game or whatever, I mean, we've paid that money out for these players for these games. That's the reason I've been brought up here.
Billy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, right, because you're in the middle of a serious point and it sounds good. I've worked with this guy for 5.5 years. I've never seen him take a single note on this show, but I've just seen him scribble something down. I've looked at his page and it says, "More leaks than a greengrocer."
It's a great line.
He's so delighted with your line that he's written it down. And he's going to repeat
he's
it.
He's going to keep that, isn't he?
Look, his paper, he has actually written it.
Brilliant, Billy.
Okay, does he have a point? Does the defence have more leaks than a greengrocer, or was it not helped by James Sands sending off and losing
a lot of
Well,
it doesn't
leaks?
Help when you go down to 10 men, but before that, they conceded 8 goals. You've got a centre half that's been brought up to play in these big games, and I know the manager has said that he's not up to speed. Right, I agree with Mark. If you've no intention whatsoever, especially a centre-back, of putting him on that pitch at any time, do not have him on the bench. Because what you do is ask questions that Young King, and I keep saying it's nothing against Young King, I think he's got to be a real, real promising
player. So what is wrong with it then? You know, if say Rangers had to put a it's not the same as Rangers having to put, you know, another midfielder back there or really shuffle things around. If he feels that... coming back from injury, Ben Davies is on the same level as a fully fit Leon King performance-wise. What's the drama?
Because you put yourself, if you don't put him on, you put King on before him. You put yourself into the, you know, the question mark about what is the point of putting him on the bench? Because we've already heard Billy talking tonight about it. This and he'll not be the only Rangers fan that's questioning. Hold on a minute. Why
he was asked the question last night in the press conference. Yeah. He could have just avoided that. You know, you put yourself in a position, because it's such a prominent signing. You know, it's not a young kid, it's not somebody who's been at the club before and is coming back for injury, and it goes under the radar. Because Rangers have leaked 8 goals previous to this, and Goldson, you've got to say, has not been tip-top. Sands is playing there, a midfielder playing there. Fans are thinking, right, where's the backup here? Where's the real centre-halves? You've got one on the bench who doesn't play. It leaves questions. So if he's not fit, don't have him there, and you don't get asked the question.
This is nothing against the young lad King. He's a real promising talent. I really like him. But if you've got a summer signing with a big reputation coming from Liverpool, I know he didn't play a lot at Liverpool, I understand that, but he's been brought in for these games, and you have no intention of putting him on the pitch, don't put yourself under pressure putting him on the bench. Because the minute you bring King on, everybody's going to ask the question, why have we signed this guy?
Who does this reflect on, Billy, the manager or someone else?
I think it's the manager, because he's the one that's picking the team. I don't know if he wanted these players in the summer or no. I don't know if it's the board or whatever, Ross Wilson. But at the end of the day, he's the one that's got the final say and who's coming on, and he's picking the actual team. And I just can't understand. I mean, don't get me wrong, Leon King, I agree with everybody, he's a fantastic prospect for the future. But if you've got somebody like Ben Davies sitting on there, he must be sitting there saying, what have I got to do to actually get a game here? If he's not fit enough, then you've got to give him game time to get fit enough. And last night was a prime example.
Right, overall then, Billy, how do you feel? Because you've been listening to the show and we've had a bit of a mix. Guys who say, I don't care if it was better, I don't care if there was more fight, we lost 3-0, it's 11 goals conceded, it's none scored. But then others are saying, well, last night wasn't as bad, and you can't lump them together because the sending off really changed things. Where do you sit?
I think we're in trouble. I really think Rangers are in trouble, because I just can't see a way out of this. And I think the way Giovanni's doing things and acting on team selection, and I just kind of see a way out of this.
As good as that, Billy. Very glass half empty, but thank you for sharing your thoughts. An honest assessment from Billy, and Clyde Bank takes us up to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
If you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, take on Mark Wilson or Hoopy the Huddle Hound, now is the chance to pick up that phone. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7. Beat the Pundit's next. Let's hear from you.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal are here, and in the time it's taken to bring you the news, we've had your first job offer. It's in Glasgow Wellington FC.
Who they?
Excuse me, they say we could use a mascot, and we're sure Mr. Deal would look great. Guess what their mascot
wellies.
Is?
What pair of wellies.
Think, but from
Glasgow Wellington,
a beef Wellington.
No,
a New Zealand, a Kiwi,
Duke of Wellington statue. They think. I don't know if they've got it yet, but that's the dream because they're called Glasgow Wellington on the badge. Imagine you with a big cone in your head. You'd look fantastic.
Where do they play, Chum? I'll be along next week.
I'm going to guess.
What day they play? Is it football?
Yes.
All right.
It could be any sport. It could be rugby.
No, Saturday's by the looks of it, I think. Well, Saturday and Sunday, it says here. They must have a lot going on.
That's a double dump tuck.
Yeah, they've got a Saturday squad and a Sunday squad, apparently. So would you do both or just one or the other?
Depends what your candy is.
On that note.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The candy, honestly.
It's all about the cash. Ridiculous.
Let's play Beat the Pundit. No candy up for prize tonight, but something money can't buy. A signed ball by the Super Scoreboard Pundits. I know, it's an unbelievable prize. You don't have to all shout out at once, but that's what's up for grabs tonight. James in Blantyre, how do you feel about your chances?
Well, if I get Gordon, I'll win easy.
This
is becoming a recurring theme.
James,
just
you
on.
Don't spend your weekends dressed up as Hoopy the Huddle Hound by any chance, do you?
No, just
checking in case the guy taken
not from Blanchard.
I don't do that.
And phoned in.
He gave away his location there. Where the guy lives.
Oh, he's over in Blantyre.
That's where James is
doing.
From, for goodness sake.
Oh, right, I thought you meant to see you two.
What do I do to deserve being stuck with
you?
You
grassed him in there.
It's like one you're trying to outdo each other to see who's slower. Honestly, which one? Right, anyway, heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it'll be Hoopy's mate Gordon, the new Duke of Wellington statue. And it's tails. Who do you think you are, Marvin Bartley? You've started scrutinising my toss.
I couldn't see that anyway.
So I'm trying to toss you private over here and you're peering over the computer screen.
All the very best.
James, you got your wish. You're going to tuck him away?
You bought that.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can hear in his voice.
James knows his stuff. Never do that again. Okay. Let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. He's gone, James. You'll be pleased to know. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay, cheers.
Top man, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was sent off for Rangers against Napoli last night?
San.
Which side did Gary Hooper leave to join Celtic?
Preston, I think.
Name either player named in the Scotland men's team with zero caps.
I don't know, pass.
Who was the last Motherwell manager to take them to a major domestic cup final?
Pass.
Which club did Ben Davis leave to join Rangers in the summer?
Liverpool.
Name either Scottish Premiership side who've got no clean sheets this season.
Dundee United.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hoopy, can you hear us?
Hoopy's back.
Duke of, you ready?
Wellington.
Someone was going to say Montrose, aren't they? Yeah. At some point, but we'll just move on. You ready?
Go.
Who was sent off for Rangers last night against Napoli? Which side did Gary Hooper leave to join Celtic?
Scunthorpe.
Name either player named in the Scotland men's squad with zero caps.
Pass, can't remember.
Who was the last Motherwell manager to take them to a major domestic cup final?
Stuart McCall.
Which club side did Ben Davies leave to join Rangers in the summer? Name either Scottish Premiership side who've not kept a clean sheet in the league this season.
Dundee United.
And what is current Aberdeen player Luis Lopez better known as?
Lope. The Duke. The Duke in it.
James, how do you think it went?
Maybe a brawler, he's beaten me the van.
Shut up, James. Tuck yourself in. Time for your bed, son.
See, James, there are not many shows on radio we call in and get told to shut up by somebody. Let it be said that we've got no standards. James Sands.
You've got a big nose, Gordon.
Tail between the legs in a minute, son.
We've both got it right. James Sands up and running. It's like we can't get away from Hoopy Hooper Hooper. We're all there tonight. Is Scunthorpe from
the great James. Shout, by the way.
2-1. He said Preston.
I see you later.
2-1. Steady, because you didn't get the next one.
What was it?
Name either player named in the Scotland men's squad with zero caps: Liam Kelly or Ryan Porteous.
Oh, Porteous.
It's Porteous. Did he get that? What is he?
Did Jazz or James get that?
He did not. No. So you're still in front.
He doesn't know he's why you Blantyre.
I feel bad for James here because you're obviously you're a big Motherwell fan. So this was shooty in for you. Who was the last Motherwell manager to take them to a major domestic cup final?
It was Robinson.
Stephen Robinson. Yeah. Two in one season.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. Yeah,
it.
Funny that. James didn't get it either.
Oh,
he might be from just along the road. Listen, but he didn't get it either.
See if he gets another question, just give him double points.
Okay,
make
if
a
you
game
want.
Of, make a game of it.
Ben Davies joined from Liverpool. He did get that.
Oh, well done, James.
So did you. Name either Scottish Premiership side who haven't kept a league clean sheet. You said Dundee United, and that's wrong.
Oh, yes.
They have kept a clean sheet.
Who against? Name one. Who?
Motherwell, 0-0, wasn't it?
So yeah. So
your team again.
Oh,
very
no.
good.
Did we Jazza get it?
Nah, he said Dundee United as well.
Oh, James!
Oh, I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. And Luis Lopez is better known as Duke, but you said wasn't stupid to begin
James
with.
When you get that anyway.
James, a 3-2 defeat, hard lines.
That's all right.
What do you mean it's all right? James, what do you mean it's all right? Did you not come on 5 minutes ago full of confidence, shouting your mouth off, and all of a sudden it's all right?
Gordon, just give him a sign, boys, well.
Thanks for taking part, James. I've got the fear at some point somebody's going to come on and just lose the rag when you act like that and start shouting abuse.
Bring it on. Well, it's no James Blantyre.
I'm the one that has to man the swear button.
It can't be James for Blantyre. Right, he's embarrassed his full family.
Oh, it's 3-2.
He's come on here and
don't get carried away. It's 3-2.
It doesn't matter, it's a victory.
And you
come on, Boston.
You didn't even know which Motherwell manager got to the cup final.
I didn't know, I just went too quick. He's probably telling everybody, I don't know what to do with my signed ball. Well, he's not got a signed ball. The balls are here. The balls are here. So they're not
why
even
that your hands? That hand gesture. I did not like that one single bit.
Because he always sit in front of him.
See whilst we're on him for last night, Mark, I feel the need to bring this up because, look, I'll need to put a bit of context for those who didn't listen last night. He's come in here with a disposable paper cup that he got at a fancy golf course that he played at the other day. You know the one, it's in Ayrshire. Former US president goes there, that's the way we described it. And these things are obviously for the bin. You get them and you bin them. But he, because he is ridiculous, asked for a free paper cup so he could take away and keep it, and he's come in here showing it off to you last night.
Strange.
And we told the story last night, and he was banging on about Karen this and Karen that. Karen gave me, and I just said
has
to Karen,
Karen been
and
in
this,
touch
that,
to
and
invite
the next
me
thing.
Back then?
I got a message today.
How much is it? No, Karen.
It's not Karen. It's Sandra. So I hope she's not a listener, because you called. Bearing in mind this place that we're talking about, quite a fancy place. You called. You said she was the manager of the cafe. Incidentally,
a general manager.
It's never been described as a cafe in its life, and you got her name wrong. So
was it Sandra? Yeah. Seriously,
where have you got Karen from?
I don't know.
Don't answer that. 01419511025. Mic off. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. And just seeing if we're getting any more job offers in yet on the mascot front. Mark Wilson could take over. Oh, I like this. Moan the Jags says Mark Wilson could take over as manager at Glasgow Wellington because he's used to getting the boot.
Yes. That's good. Like that.
That's not even
well
funny.
Done, Moan the Jags. I'm happy with that. Absolutely. Delighted. Well done.
We should adopt a club like that and go and support them.
What, Glasgow Wellington? After they've just abused me.
Glasgow. Well, by the way, right, Glasgow Wellington are all over this. They're offering to send. They're offering. I'm going to put this to you, Mark Wilson, because this guy would take any freebie going.
Yeah.
Glasgow Wellington are saying they're going to send you one of their strips in.
All right. Okay.
Proper nice, you know.
Aye.
Yeah, very nice. They've got three. A nice wee black number.
They try to rip off
that
the fans.
That would suit you both.
What league do they play in?
I'll
Gordon?
Give you. I don't know, but the black one, slimming. So you two can both have that.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll go for the wee sort of red tartan
XL for Daz
number. Yeah, nice them. You know.
Do you know a number 12 in yours?
0141 951 1025.
That's your club. We'll follow them
at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Big night, Hearts fans. If you've not been lucky enough to make the trip and you're watching, or you're going to be watching at home, why not pick up the phone? Be nice to hear from you. 50 minutes to go until kickoff in Riga. Can you get your Europa Conference League campaign up and running? Because it was obviously a tough old opener last week, wasn't it? A really tough one. So let's see how it goes. I'll tell you what we could do. Speaking of Hearts, Sunday, obviously, Fir Park, Motherwell Hearts, shout abuse at Andy Halliday for 90 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Good shout.
Any of us fancy that?
Yeah, I do fancy that, Gordon.
I'm engaged in Sunday.
You and I then, surely.
I'm kilt walking in Sunday.
What time you want to pick up?
23 miles.
Go on then, quick, get your wee. Get your wee bit in, go on, hurry up.
I can't be bothered.
Do you mean you can't be bothered?
I know.
You're trying to raise money.
No, do you know what? This is shocking. I can't be bothered. This is, I mean, I know there's a cost of living crisis, but even in amongst that, we generally are a very charitable nation, in fact, a very charitable part of the country. And Mark Wilson, with his big Twitter following, he posted a link. Why are you laughing? It's for charity.
I know where he's going.
He posted, he's got thousands of followers, this guy. Nah. And he posted a link to his whatever it is, just giving page for his kilt walk, and got
much erased.
£0.
Zero in the first week.
Absolutely, a complete zero. Not even 50 pence.
I can be bothered now. So see all yous that follow me on Twitter, stingy. Your hand in your pocket for a good cause.
I'm going to throw you a couple of quid. There you go.
No, you won't, because you've been saying that for the last 2 weeks, and I still don't see your donation in.
I'll tell you what, I'll pay you on at the golf tomorrow.
That's in a nutshell.
That's just a lot of money.
I will sponsor you, but I was torn between being sad for you and laughing at you when I heard that.
Did you feel a bit embarrassed?
Not really, because it's not going to me, it's going to the kids.
Exactly.
So you should feel embarrassed.
Yeah. I'm sponsoring you, I'm in.
But how much are you sponsoring me?
I don't want to say out loud because it will embarrass a lot of people.
That means it's going to be low.
£7.50.
100%. That's
low. How much are you going?
Whatever you do, I'll double.
Now, bear in mind, we've worked together for a long time, so I'm expecting big. Know who has sponsored me? This tells you everything you need to know about you two, Callum. Callum's sponsored
much. What? It just means that Callum's got more spare time. I will do it. I will get round to it. I've just been busy.
I don't even want your sponsorship anymore.
Name and
I thought it was for the kids.
That's for the kids. No, that's for the kids. I take that back. Kids,
so are you walking in the kilt?
I know. No.
I know. It's a kilt walk.
I'm not walking 23 miles in a kilt.
Is that not the
No, I think it's just named the kilt walk.
No, well, I'll tell you what. I'm
deducting. What do you want me to do in a kilt?
Yeah, if you do in a kilt, you'll certainly get
how
a few
much you going to give me?
I'll give you a few quid. If you go in a kilt.
You mean
specifically
actually
£4.
No, there'll be a few.
Anyway, right, 0141 951 1025. John is a Rangers fan. Quite a lot been said about last night, John. What do you take away from it?
How you doing? I'm fine. He's all okay on there, yeah?
All good, John, thank you.
It was just a couple of earlier callers there. I think Tony was one of them. Do they think they're going to come out of the Europa League exploits of last year and come into the top tier of European football and take it by storm or something? It's a learning process. Some people are really, really want to chill out a wee bit. We've had two leathers. Well, not so much a leather last night. We got a leather last week against the Ajax. And last night we were holding Marine up to that 10.5, which was just a bit of bad luck, to be honest with you. Morelos said they're half chance. I hear them talking about fine margins. If we take that and we're up, we asked for an improvement on last week, and last night was an improvement. And then Jimmy, the boys were talking there about these signings that they've not made. See if these boys come on and they're all match fit, they'll get slaughtered if they make mistakes and they're no match fit, get caught with the ball. And you can see, he used to hand right away with Lindstrom. When he came on, wasn't he up to speed with a Scottish game? And he wasn't cut any slack. People are getting carried away with themselves, they think, Rangers. And even Celtic, that matter, are going to come in and take these groups, storm.
Yeah, that's fair. But also, in fairness, John, you know, Matondo, Tillman, Colak, Yilmaz, they were all on the bench. And they're fit. You know, it's not like those guys are struggling.
I'm not. They won the match. Fact. You're not telling me.
Hold on. Well, right. Okay. Let's take Tillman. Let's take Yilmaz out. How can Tillman and Colak and Matondo not be match fit?
I never said they were. No. Colline was dropped because of a tactical, which worked.
Right.
Wait a minute. You're saying Colline was the match fit. He was match fit.
I didn't say Colak wasn't match fit. You are basically, the basic mood that you're putting across here is, why is there so much fuss about none of the new signings playing? Because if you play guys that aren't fully match fit, they'll get slaughtered. I am then obviously pointing out that the guys, the new signings that were left on the bench, were match fit. So I'm not sure your argument stacks up.
Right, so Ben Davis is match fit.
No, you've just picked the one, John. Though, John. What about the rest? What about Tillman then, right? Let's talk about Tillman. Let's talk about Matondo. They were both match fit.
Do you think Matondo's match fit to play in a European
John, can I ask you a question? Was Morelos match fit?
It looked fit enough last night.
No, but with the amount of games he's played, was he match fit? Compared to Tillman, who's played right up until last night?
Last night, but they're two different positions, Gordon.
Oh, wow, we're going off here. I don't understand. I'm getting a bit lost because, John, are you suggesting that it was the right team to pick last night because the new signings weren't match fit? That's what we need to establish.
Right. The team we picked last night was fine. Okay? It was fine. But people are coming and asking a question. Do you think that the boy, the left back, Ridman Yilmaz, do you think he's duty bound to replace Barisic, who's been playing well?
Duty bound's maybe strong, but would you not forgive some of your fellow Rangers fans for thinking that because they spent quite a lot of money on him, that it was a signing made with the intention of him being first choice?
Right, so you're making an assumption there that these guys were bought for your Champions League football. Actually, that's where I come on. We bought them to better the team in Champions League football.
Yeah.
I've asked you a question there. Could you answer that? Do you think in the present climate, the boy Yilmaz deserves to displace Borna Barisic the way he's been playing?
I don't think he will. Because what I've seen...
I never ask you, Gordon, I never ask you. Do you think you will? I ask you, do you think he should do now? Do you think Borna Barisic should lose his place anew? Well, at this moment, in the two games we've played.
But John, we've not seen Yilmaz play, so obviously he can't answer that. But look, it's not exactly a stretch, John, for people to look at a multi-million pound signing and expect to see a bit more of him, is it? That's not a stretch.
No, of course it's not, of course. Well, but it's not. It's too much for me to ask him to play in the big games last night right away. Okay, listen, we've crossed that one there. We're not going to get anywhere. But my second point here is, I listened to a sports show today, and there were three different... avenues on it today, presenters. And what I'm going to ask you is the slaughter, see the support, the two supports. Are we not going to mention the antics of the two supports last night?
I'll mention it if you want to phone in. That's
I wish it would come up in conversation so that the viewers and the listeners could have a say on it.
Bring it up, John. That's sort of how the phone in works.
Well, you want me to bring it up now then?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great then. I hope we get an honest answer. I would like to ask your panel what they thought of the antics and the banners that was flew in Poland last night.
Yeah, Mark, this is the story that Rangers, the latest update on this was just before we came on air. So Rangers won't face disciplinary action over their singing of the national anthem at Ibrox. Celtic will face disciplinary action over banners displayed by their fans, obviously in a family show. I can't say what the banner said, but most people saw it. A sweary word.
UEFA have made their rules pretty clear on that. Offensive banners will be dealt with. UEFA have looked at that, found it offensive. So basically Celtic will have their knuckles wrapped for that. I mean, the fans, Celtic fans have had previous for this. As like, there's a whole group of fans that have had previous for this as well. But they don't learn. They wanted to make a statement. They've made it in the way that they thought they should have. But it'll be the club that pays for it.
And on the flip side of that, Gordon, it would have been pretty spectacular if UEFA had decided to punish Rangers for singing the national anthem, wouldn't it? At any time, but particularly at this time. I know they said it wasn't permitted, but
yeah, it was a strange night.
Even UEFA, who get criticised for no common sense at times, that surely would have even been beyond them.
Yeah, it was a strange night, you know, and the fact of the banners and obviously what happened at Ibrox as well, Gordon. UEFA will punish Celtic, and Mark's right. As much as you think you're a supporter, it's a club that ends up paying for it, and you're only hurting your own club, and that's where I think everything's wrong in this day and age with that. I think that you've got to respect your club.
And John's hung up, by the way. He obviously decided that he, who knew.
He was. I was going to jump in the Barisic thing there before he says he's we'll draw a line under that. I don't think Barisic is playing particularly well. I've not seen enough of Yilmaz yet, but I can only assume he's been brought in for X amount of pounds to challenge Barisic. And I think if Barisic, well, you've seen him at Celtic Park, I thought he was good going forward, but defending first and foremost. Even thought away at Ajax, he was questionable. Last night, it was a couple of times in the first half, he was just dilly-dallying the ball, got robbed a couple of times. I don't think he's the Barisic a couple of years ago. And Yilmaz must not be shown enough in training to get in that squad, because I don't think it's that big an obstacle to overcome. So it's an interesting one. Van Bronckhorst back in his left back, or the number three berth, as we're calling it.
Did we ever establish with John if Tillman was match fit? Did we get to that?
John hung up. I don't think he's phone fit.
He seemed angry. He was shouting at you. He put you in your place. He didn't ask that. Answer this.
Well, that's what the phone is for. John's come on. I gave us a what for. But you go back to the Barisic thing. I'm not as critical of Barisic as probably Mark is. I think he's got great qualities. I really do. Yes, there's a few games that he's been caught out, but I think he offers so much to Rangers in the left back berth, as I call it. What I've seen, and it's only a small bit of Yilmaz,
I've not seen enough to make a judgment, let's be honest.
But it's not been one of those ones that you've sat up and thought, oh, here's a real challenge just now to Barisic.
What has Yilmaz played though? He played, was it at home against, was it Ross County? And he didn't have the most impressive game, apparently. But, and then he played the League Cup game.
I'm going to flip the coin, Mark. You get a sort of a quick impression. And okay, it's you shouldn't really go very quickly on it. But I look at Celtic, right, in the left-back position. Bernabe, I thought, up at Ross County. I looked at him and I thought, he looks a real good player, this boy, right? I liked the way he went forward, good pace about him, everything about him. I thought he looked...
Kilmarnock, by the way, it was not Ross County.
I thought he'll look a good signing. Greg Taylor,
keeping them out of the team.
And by the way, rightly so, because Greg Taylor's been excellent. I don't see that in Yilmaz with Barisic.
We're now extremely late for this break. I can see producer Michael twitching. We've got a full time teaser next, so get your calls in. Good time to get involved.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. You were off the hook last night. If we're on till 11 o'clock, there's lots of games going on and excitement, we don't bother. We give a wee rest to the full time teaser, but that means you're back. So let's see how you can fare with this one. It's Daniel McGonigal who sent it in. He says, following Tom Rogic's move to West Brom, can you name the other 11 players to have played for Celtic and West Brom since 2000? So after Tom, and what about that, by the way?
I know.
Your favourite Dazzler.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Well, he was going to get closer to home.
Well, as a crow flies, he is a little bit. It was an astonishing move. I've got to say, I didn't see that one coming. Certainly took his time about it. I think it's a good signing. I like him. I think he's a terrific footballer. I really do.
He's also now been like,
what's he been then for? That's 3 months.
It's a strange situation, Mark.
I know. I don't get it. Who's the manager? Is Steve Bruce the manager? Is he on a shaky nail as well?
Do you think Tom Rogic plays Steve Bruce style of football?
It just doesn't add up. I don't know where he's been. In my opinion, he'd still be playing the Celtic first team. You know, he'd be rotated by probably O'Reilly. So it's a strange one. Maybe he just had enough. Couldn't achieve any more, he thought. But it's Champions League. Surely he would have wanted a slice in it.
Started off 20th with the West Brom one.
All right, okay.
So sorry, on the question. Tom Rogic to West Brom. Can you name the other 11 players to play for Celtic and West Brom since 2000?
John Hartson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well done, mate.
Craig Beattie.
Big Beats. Remember he used to share Saturdays with us?
Yeah. And Fortuny.
Oh, wonderful. Well done. Gordon, any from you?
I'll settle for one as well. I'm offering absolutely nothing.
All right.
There must be a goalkeeper there.
Every week he says that, right?
Are there a goalkeeper there?
Yeah. I'll have to find out. Let's wait and see. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the number, the email, I should say, that Daniel McGonigal sent that one into. And thank you to Daniel for it. See the power of this show. You're getting job offers to be mascot. And Daniela from Total Tartan in Alexandria has called in to offer him a kilt to do the kilt walking.
You're joking.
Extra thick, please, Daniela.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please.
You get any of those red, white, and blue ones left?
I've not got the legs for kilt anywhere, but thank you very much. Very kind offer.
You can't go a kilt walk without a kilt. It's ridiculous.
I don't think anybody wears a kilt nowadays.
They wear tartan.
Do you know one of my worst moments on this show was when he told the story about wearing a camel kilt in Mexico, and he was sweating buckets, and our colleague Alex Ray inexplicably, I mean, a lot of inexplicable things happen on this show, but this was chief among the inexplicable happenings on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. He decided to just shout out.
You're not going to say it again,
of course I'm not. A well-known wardrobe malfunction that begins with the word camel. And he added the next bit, the body part bit, on the end of the foot, for no reason whatsoever. And he just shouted it into his mic.
Oh,
and they don't
brilliant.
Teach you, see it
at radio school.
At radio school, they don't teach you what to do with that.
I don't think any's knew what to do with that.
Why even did he
Alex,
say that?
I don't know. Alex comes up with these things off air. He comes, you know, he has wee bursts. That was amused me. No, it made my Saturday better.
it was ridiculous. Anyway, see, he's been busy in the transfer market. Him and Paul Inst have signed Andy Carroll to Reading.
Ooh,
have they really?
Yeah, what's that today?
They lost last night. Aye. They're disappointed.
By the way, did you see the goal?
Sunderland.
Patrick Roberts.
Oh,
was
my
good,
goodness.
Mowbray ball.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
Tell me something.
We didn't play like that Celtic.
I want to be involved here. Malumbu, was it Kilmarnock Celtic? Did he not come from West Brom?
That's a good shout, Daz. Well, yes, I've seen you putting that phone away as well.
Yeah, he tucked it away nice and quickly. Hearts fans, we're going to speak about that game very soon. Coming up in Riga, half an hour time. Let's speak to Frank, Celtic fan, and get his take on last night. Frank, how are you?
Not bad, Gordon, thank you. And good evening to the dynamic duo there in the studio, keeping us entertained.
Called many things,
usual.
Frank. They've been called many things.
I tell you what it is, I mean, probably most Celtic fans get into this year's Champions League. You were looking at the draw thinking, in the pots, if we did get third and drop into Europa League, that would be progress. And when the draw was made, I think most fans were probably thinking that. The surprise came after match one when Leipzig got a bit of a doing off at Donetsk and it cost the manager their job. And obviously they've brought Marco Rose, who's a well-respected coach, and you've seen the progression last night and them under Real Madrid. But the point I was getting to is the progression in Celtic under Ange isn't just in the domestic front. I think now we're beginning to see the real progress in European stage, and that's given me real hope. I thought last night, getting into the game, a draw would have been a good result. I said to everybody I knew, just don't get beat over there. That gives us a chance. But actually, the performance, we should have won if we'd have took our chances. And I now believe Celtic, before games to go in this group, are getting to a stage that they're probably 50-50 to qualify. And I didn't think that would be possible to start. I mean, I seen somebody put out there, if Real Madrid win their next three games, and it's a big if, but they're playing Shakhtar back-to-back and then they're away to Leipzig, and Celtic actually win their two home games against Shakhtar and Leipzig, even get into the last game, Celtic have qualified from that Champions League group, and that's an unbelievable scenario. And it has, there is a chance it could happen. But I can remember the 18 months ago, we were getting beat 4-0 from Sparta Prague, home and away, embarrassed in Europe. That Celtic team's progression under Ange is nothing short of remarkable, and I just want to put that in Mark and Gob.
Yeah, I have to agree with Frank. When Celtic got to the Champions League, and we watched the draw in there, the teams hadn't come out yet. I was actually thinking along the same lines of Frank. You know, if Celtic get third place and get European football after Christmas, it's a success. I then seen the draw and I thought, I mean, we've seen Rangers against Leipzig, so that's doable. Real Madrid stand alone, and Shakhtar, you didn't know what you're going to get. Having seen all the teams now perform, I think it is possible for Celtic to get second. And I don't want to get egg in my face here, but you saw Leipzig against Shakhtar. And Shakhtar, you know, hammered them. Real Madrid last night was a different game for them. But Celtic at home, Frank mentioned it, Celtic have to take care of their home games. That is a crucial thing. And Celtic Park over the years in the Europa League and the Conference League, let's not forget, hasn't been a fortress at all. They need to get back to what it was. That is important. And I still think they can take something away from home against Leipzig.
But you're always going to have to be measured, Gordon. You can't go overboard on style and performance, because if you're then to just lose every game, what's the point? But Celtic aren't losing every game. The draw last night, last week's a bit different, but even against Real Madrid and then even away from home, there is a real distinct way that they're going about their business. Whether it's enough to get them through, whether it's enough to get them third, only time will tell. But I think most people, we know we Glasgow works, rival fans, that sort of thing, most people though would have to admit that Celtic are going about their business performance level wise quite well in the Champions League so far.
I think it's still a big ask, right? But I certainly agree with Frank and Mark. I think it's possible. Mark's right, it's all about the home games. If you can win your home games, what a difference that is for you. They're capable of doing that, because the way the team's playing, the flair, the pressing, the team works as a unit. They've got good options for the bench to keep, you know, everybody in their toes. The manager, you know, he's loved by the Celtic fans, and obviously the players play for him. Yeah, there'll be difficult games of that, there's no doubt. You've seen last night, you just switch off an experienced player and a terrific player, and the captain like Cal McGregor goes in to try and win a ball he shouldn't go into. Two minutes later, the ball's in your back in eight. That's what you're dealing with. You're against top quality opposition. But I certainly think Celtic will fancy this group. And I said earlier when I seen the group at the beginning, Madrid is a glamour game and the other games are points for me. I think there's points there to be won. I thought they were a bit unlucky to leave Poland last night with just one. But when it comes to the home games, they've got to make that count. And when the chances come along, like the league campaign, they've got to put it in the back of it, be clinical.
Yeah, on that point, Frank, there's always a glass half empty view. Is there any part of you, whilst I'm sure you're encouraged at the chances being created, Celtic very easily could have 4-5 more goals over those two games than they have at the moment? What do you put that down to?
I wouldn't say bad luck, bad, but I mean, it's just not taking your chances. I mean, that is the beauty of the game of football. You look at the way Kyogo started the season, he's on fire. Big double G when he comes off the bench or starts, he always looks a goal threat. I think both of them have been unlucky. I think that we kind of see Celtic fans, Maeda isn't the poacher, he's not like the goal scorer or Kyogo or Jackie Marcus, and I think his was probably the biggest chance last night. But they'll come, these players will learn. I mean, everybody should remember, as Kyogo said, it was his first starting game in the Champions League. Yes, big double G played against Real Madrid. But I just think that this will come for Celtic. The next game at Leipzig away is crucial. And I think if we go there and come back with last night with a point, you've then got a real opportunity at home to Leipzig and at home to Shakhtar to qualify with a game to spare. And that's real progression. And then you look across the city, you've got... I do think it might happen. I think Rangers might finish that group with that point. And your boy who's on before me that nearly combusted, let me just say I'm a Celtic fan and I don't condone any of the banners that were on display last night. I think there's a way to go about your own feelings. But he forgot to mention the Onion Bears at the end of the match trying to attack the Napoli fans, didn't they, conveniently?
And round we go. I've seen that clip on social media, and then I think you can see a caller coming to make the point, and Rangers might have sang the national anthem, but they also sang this, and that's where you can start with the best of intentions, you'll never get to the end of it if you keep doing that and start.
Of course, yeah.
Then we'll be casting up discretions from the weekend and from last month and from 10 years ago, and that's pretty tough for us. I think most people would agree with that. But anything to add?
No, I think you're right.
Lots of people tuning in for your thoughts on the structure of the monarchy here, by the way. Just that's obviously why you're here tonight.
I'm a football expert, Gordon.
That's all right. I said that with a straight face as well.
You stick to mascots.
You're a
mascot expert.
I've had another one in from John who says he could maybe get you what was the name of it? Is it Freddy the Fox or something at Falkirk? Fergus the Fox, my apologies.
It's not got quite the same ring as Freddy the Fox. Freddy Fox was better.
I'm sticking with the Wellington.
Are you?
Yeah, I think they were first on the buzzer.
Okay, we've got to get that. Some sort of Cash for Kids thing. Raise money
would you
for
give it a bit? Would you do the dancing and the actions?
I'd be right up for that.
It's only got one hip though.
I've got two hips.
It got replaced.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Oh, is it replaced? I thought it was just tidied up.
No.
You got a film replacement?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, you should see his moves now.
I don't think I'm on it.
He's looking a young.
Bet he's solid on the dance floor and got a few moves with the shoes. The old days.
I've got another one in this thing.
Good, I'm glad you do because you're running out of time.
Scott Allen.
Oh, what a shout that is. What a shout that is. Can you name the 11 players apart from Tom Rogic who've played for Celtic and West Brom since 2000?
I've got an easy one.
Scott Allen, Fortuny, Malumbu, Craig Beattie, John Hartson.
The boy Burke Winger.
Boy Burke.
Good shout, I forgot about him.
Ollie Burke. Well done. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Nearing kickoff in Riga for Hearts, a big game tonight. Nearing the conclusion of this full-time teaser as well. Thank you to Daniel McGonigal for sending it in. Tom Rogic inspired. Who are the other 11 players to play for Celtic and West Brom since 2000? You've got Ollie Burke, Scott Allen, Marc-Antoine Fortuny, Yusuf Malumbu, Craig Beattie, John Hartson.
Scott Sinclair.
Well done.
Good shout that, Daz. Well done. Very good. Darna Day one.
No,
Reading. He played with Reading.
Alright, Camden.
We already figured that one out.
But he's quiet in the break when we're chatting. But he's the man with the answers.
He's trying to put us off the goalkeeper. Keep thinking of the goalkeeper.
De Vries. See, just to be clear, just so I know where we stand on this,
there's a goalkeeper in there.
You think there's a goalkeeper 100%. In there 100%. And you think I'm trying to put you off the notion that there's a goalkeeper. Okay.
Yeah, De Vries.
Nope.
Right, who else played?
Is there a goalkeeper?
Fraser
he's
Foster
your made up his mind. Your teammates made up his mind.
Fraser Foster, no.
No.
Oh. Right, okay, man.
Why are you so sure there's a goalkeeper?
Because I'll guarantee there's a goalkeeper on there.
I'm telling you, there's not a goalkeeper on there.
He's double bluff.
Right, don't say I didn't warn you.
I don't think there's a goalkeeper
anymore.
On there. No, I don't think so. Stan Varga?
No.
Wrong era?
It's nothing to do with that. He's done.
Ross Wallace?
West, so. No.
Oh, he played with
Paul Price. McManus has sent me a brilliant tweet, right, because it combines the two themes of the last half hour. The West Brom mascot. Do you know what it is or what it was?
What are the baggies?
It's a boiler.
A boiler?
Remember they were sponsored by a boiler company. Look, and it's a full on walking combi boiler. Look.
That's terrible. That is the worst I've seen.
I can see you in that.
Oh no, I wouldn't be. That
is just a big box, isn't it? A cardboard box with the arms cut it. That is dreadful.
That is bad.
Poor mascot. Craig Bellamy.
Oh no.
You done me there. I thought it was nah, this is difficult. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4 to go.
Right, big game for Hearts tonight. They are in Riga taking on RFS. A really tough start to their Conference League. Istanbul were good. I think that should be acknowledged. They were good. They've got a massive budget. 4-0 still a heavy one though, and Hearts need to do something tonight if they have any hope of
they need
shaking up the group. Don't need
a result. But you were right, Gordon. They get torn apart at Tynecastle. That was a terrific performance.
At 0-0, our man. Andy
ran
Halliday,
it
lovely, steam. Lovely bit of skill, goes round the last defender. He's through on goal, nosebleed. Tried to get it on his left foot, didn't he? He keeps his place though. He plays tonight. Craig Gordon, Michael Smith, Stephen Kingsley, Craig Halkett, George Grant, Lauren Shankland, Cammy Devlin, Andy Halliday, Barry Mackay, your man, Alex Cochrane, Josh Ginelli. That's the Hearts team tonight.
Plenty of creativity, and actually it's not as if it's ultra defensive. Wonder what role Andy will play, because he played just off the striker, didn't he, last week. Didn't work. It'll be a different game tonight, you know, different from their last game as well, the other qualifier. I think they'll get a result tonight. I think they've got the players in that squad. You know, Barry Mackay in form, by the way, can't believe he didn't get in the Scotland squad. Didn't get a shout for that. I thought he thoroughly deserved it. But Ginelli in there, bit of pace. Shankland, I think he's
looking good. Do you fancy him tonight, Mark?
I do. I think Hearts will win tonight. You? No?
I don't know much about the opposition. They're away from home.
Hold on, Knackerday, all the travelling. Not sure Riga's that far, but they go to Fir Park on Saturday, so you'll be hoping for a good win tonight, but a tiring
journey. Yeah,
performance.
Yeah, but they've got some decent players, Hearts, some quality in there. If they play their capabilities, they need to get a result. Put it that way, they need their campaign to be started tonight, so they need a good result.
Yeah, because in terms of people's opinions, I think everyone's still got them on to finish third, Mark. Most people don't see that as being a major problem. That, I mean, they're fourth at the moment. They're level in points with Aberdeen and Motherwell. Most people still feel like they've got the third best squad and are going to finish third. But if you look at the recent games, they're actually in a really tough run by their own standards. They've won one of the last seven matches.
Yeah.
Now, that includes FC Zurich twice, and it includes Istanbul. So they were very good. But it also includes Kilmarnock in the cup and Livingston in the league. So only one win in seven.
Yeah, I think that was a big one. Livy away, Robbie Nielsen said that he couldn't wait to get back to Tynecastle for the spark to come back because he felt that had disappeared. Listening to Andy Halliday, he said that was the worst that they've ever played since he joined the club. So they've went through a wee tough stage, and that often coincides when you go into Europe, you play against different opposition.
Can Aberdeen
your squad
challenge
gets
them for third
stretched.
This year then?
Because I think they should. I think they certainly should.
Now that Liam Boyce is out for the season as well.
Yeah, well, that's a big one.
I've seen that
Snodgrass is. Yeah. Is he fit? Is he available?
He's not available for Europe.
Yeah, I think
that's why he's not there tonight. He can't play in Europe.
Okay.
Not registered in time, I think.
I think he'll be a good signing. He's a good player. He's still got enough in his legs, enough creativity.
We're used to seeing him wider, aren't we? Do you think actually at this stage of his career, maybe he goes into that sort of just behind Lauren Shankland the way Liam Boyce used to do?
I think he could. I think he certainly could. I don't think he'll have that pace now. I don't think he ever relied on his pace anyway. He relied on his quality when he was on the ball, but I think he could play that position no problem at all.
And then onwards to the weekend. It's Thursday already. What a quick week it's been. A double helping of you two consecutive nights. I don't know what I did to deserve that. But Gordon, instantly the Rangers team still becomes interesting on Saturday because hammered by Celtic, one change, hammered by Ajax, and then a raft of changes last night, but away from the new signings. Don't tell John, by the way, on the phone. He was not happy at that getting pointed out by his fellow Rangers fans. Goalkeeper, for instance. You have to stick with Alan McGregor if they're both fit, or is John McLaughlin, he was the number one until yesterday, and what's changed?
I think you've got to stick with McGregor. I know that people say, well, I lost three goals last night. I thought McGregor's performances, especially for someone that hasn't had a lot of game time this season, he's played number two. I thought he was excellent. He's one of these keepers that he's get better with age. Finished the season number one. Everybody thought that was him. He was going to bow out. He decided for another year. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was just the manager decided to go with someone else and he was there as backup. But for me last night, he proved that he's still got a lot in the tank. And me personally, if both keepers are fit, I'm still playing McGregor. And I'd be very, very surprised if he didn't go with that decision.
I mean, I assume, well, maybe not actually, I'm not sure it's a guarantee these days, but generally Giovanni Van Bronckhorst would have a press conference tomorrow. We would find out, is John McLaughlin fit or not? Because that changes everything then.
See, to be honest, he can do with John McLaughlin being unfit, because it's a big headache. On one hand, if he puts John McLaughlin in, you know, he leaves himself open. It's those kind of decisions that fans don't get and can get you into trouble if results don't stack up, because it's used to beat you with a stick to beat you with. If he puts McGregor in, which he should, which I'm with Daz here, I think McGregor's the number one goalkeeper. I think he proved it last night. He's admitting that he got it wrong, and he got it wrong in such a big game that's still fresh in the Rangers' supporters' minds. I think it's baffling to a lot of people why John McLaughlin started. And it sounds harsh because he hasn't done much wrong at all, apart from that Celtic game. But McGregor's the best goalkeeper. And I said, actually, yous laughed at me. The very first show, we were asked who was key men for both teams. Mm. I said the goalkeeper. And yeah, yous went, what do yous mean by that? And I says, well, it's
hold
a
on.
Bit...
You expect us to take back the fact that we laughed at you? Asked you who Rangers' key man was going to be, and you picked a guy that's not played until last night.
Key man.
We didn't laugh.
How can he be the? How can
maybe,
he be
maybe
key man?
If he was in against Celtic, it wouldn't have been 4-0.
We laughed with
you. I can't believe he's now brought that up as if he's somehow vindicated.
Your key
Rangers man
was Alan
hasn't
McGregor
played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what sort of prediction
so
was
it's
that?
Been key. Because we're getting Rangers fans saying that it
man
could be all over, and if they don't get back in track, he could have made all the difference.
That's not what that question means could for, have been for me personally.
Key,
but
key.
Will
key.
I get, will I get
key? But I
no,
say
he's
key.
Not. He's not one. It's Oliver Burke, Scott Allen, Scott Sinclair.
Oh, Key Sung Young.
No, he's not one.
Oh, is
I
it
said
not?
He's not one. On the teaser, Malumbu,
sure,
Craig Beattie, and John Hartson. They played Swansea, Newcastle, didn't
so
they?
Did.
We need clues here because we're struggling. Goalkeeper?
Are we done yet? As you moved on, you finished with the football discussion. Is it? Is it the,
been the rest of the fixtures?
Is it the ideal? Sorry, producer Callum, if he's listening. Is it the ideal fixture for Rangers to bounce back in, or does that bring its own pressure? Because nothing short of a swashbuckling performance will win over the fans.
Well, you're looking at a side that's lost what, 18 goals, is that be correct? Only scored a few. So you've got them at home, front of a packed house. Bottom of the league. Don't get me wrong, since the manager of Jack Ross left, Fox, is Liam Fox in it? It's come in and
Fergus
took over as.
I thought you were going to call him Foxy there.
I was thinking of mascots. And he's come in and he steadied the ship a little bit. Made them tougher to beat. Obviously Celtic battered them 9, but you'd expect Rangers to really win that comfortably.
Right, you're still looking for 4 players who've played for West Brom and Celtic since 2000. I can see a good response to this on Twitter, and by the way, it is fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to hear your question. Right,
clues.
Come on, I mean, there's no goalies in there.
Right,
I can tell you that.
Right, I thought
for sure.
So. I said that to you.
Good clue.
What about strikers that we didn't really see for too long, and maybe the sort of Fortuny era, roughly? Don't pull me up if I'm. You can also, the surname sounds very like something you would use to take a photograph.
Camara.
Oh, Camara.
Camara.
Aye.
Diamancy.
Oh, mm-hmm. Aye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not nice and convincing, you three, right? What about? I'll just say their nationality. I think you'll get them if I say their nationality.
Really?
Yep. Greek.
Samaras.
Yep.
He played for West Brom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When?
After Celtic, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember.
I wondered
him.
What happened to him after Celtic.
Norwegian.
Thomas Ronja.
No.
Is Johansson? Yeah, Stephen Johansson.
Oh, aye.
I'm good with the countries.
You are, Mr. Geography.
Now you're worried me because. I can't remember this guy. I think, is he Costa Rican? Yeah, I think.
Oh,
he is.
Gamboa.
Oh,
see, he's part of the
The right back
yeah. Celtic right back club,
yeah.
That's how he knows him.
Get in a
when's the AGM this year? Are you catching up with him soon?
The right back club. Yeah, we all get together.
Adam Matthews will be in there. Andy Hinkle, he got sacked a wee while ago, did he not?
He did.
So he'll be free to meet up. That'll be great. Thank you, Mark Wilson.
Thank you.
And Gordon DL, as always, the biggest thanks to you for all your calls and your tweets, your emails and your general company. It is an absolute pleasure to talk football with you every night. And with that in mind, we'll do it again tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Kenny Miller, interested to hear what he made of the games last night, and Jim Duffy as well. So join us at 6. Callum Gallagher is up next.